I tell you, this is George Willis from the New York Post.
Hello, George.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Just want to get your thoughts, excuse me, on the game, obviously. How do you think the Jets have had a relative success against the Patriots in the last few games, especially that first game this year? And just talk about the development of Mark Sanchez, if you could, please.
Okay, I think the Jets have had success against the Patriots. Number one, they're a good team. They've been performing well in critical situations of games. I think they've proven that throughout this year. They've made the big play when they've had to. I think whenever you have a strong physical running attack, I think that bodes well to do that versus the New England Patriots. You saw what Peyton Hillis did. I think what the Jets did in the first game, rushing for like 140 yards, something like that. So I think that's always something that, even when I played back with New England, if you had a physical running game, it was about their strength against your strength, and challenging them that way has always, it looks like the Jets have had the upper hand on that recently. The development of Mark Sanchez, really, I think he's, this year has really been a benchmark year for him in terms of development and leadership. From what I saw from him early in his career, I think the comments I made earlier in the year was I thought he was a front runner, and when things went bad, I thought he tanked it a little bit, and that's what I said. And I think I was wrong in my assessment with Mark Sanchez, because ever since then I've watched him really closely, and I really wanted to see if he improved, especially with his leadership within that team. And I felt early on in the year the Jets would have success running the ball, playing good defense, and that was their formula. But I think they've shown that they now have another aspect of their team, and that's leadership from the quarterback position. Mark's really proven me wrong in my assessment. I think I was definitely wrong in that assessment, that I don't think he's a front runner. He has proven that. He is a leader of that team. Guys rally around him. When he went down in Cleveland with that knee injury and he didn't know if he was coming back, and he came back and led his team to victory, I've been watching the kid really closely, and he's really earned my respect this year, and I'm happy for him.
And how do you see the game playing out?
It's a matchup of probably the two of the top three teams in the NFL. And to put it simply, I think whoever takes care of the ball better is going to win this game. I think the Patriots defense gives up yards, and the only way they've been able to stop the bleeding is by forcing turnovers, and those interceptions from James Sanders and McCourty and Merriweather. Can they continue that? Because I think they'll need to be plus two in a turnover ratio to win this game. So are the Jets probably going to gain a lot of yards offensively? Yes, I think so. But the Patriots have shown that they can make the big play in critical moments now. And I think, are they the New Orleans Saints defense from last year when, they were so opportunistic and making big plays? That's yet to be seen, but it looks like that's who the Patriots are defensively right now. They give up a lot of statistical numbers, but they make the big play when it counts. So can they do that, or can the New York Jets take care of the ball? And can Rex Ryan show enough looks defensively to really slow down the Patriots' offense? Because I think he did a great job in the first game of mixing in three-man rushes when you thought pressure was coming. Six or seven times I know that he was in three-man rush, and you're like, wait a second, they're not coming, they're not blitzing. I think he threw the Patriot offense off at times with that max coverage principles instead of the max blitzes. So I think Rex Ryan will have to do a great job of calling a good game.
Thanks, Teddy. I'll let somebody else jump in.
Okay.
Teddy, right now there are, I think it's seven retired numbers, retired Patriots numbers. Is that something that you've thought about in your future, something maybe when you're a young player you kind of aspired to have?
Who is this?
This is Ian Rappaport.
Okay, Ian, yeah, sure.
Or maybe they're more retired.
It was never really my goal to have my number retired. I wanted to win championships, and whatever came with that, so be it. And I know the Patriots have a good amount of numbers that are retired, and I would love to see a linebacker in the future wear number 54 and perform well. I would love to see that, and I think the all retired numbers of the New England Patriots should be unretired, and other players should be able to wear those numbers and realize the history of the number and who wore that number before and the standard that they should try and uphold of past players. I think, especially next year with possibly rosters expanding and more players on the active roster, you never know what's going to happen. If there's an 18-game schedule, more players, there's going to be more numbers needed. I mean, a lot of players, there are a lot of players on a team, on a football team, and you need more numbers. So unretire the numbers. I think adding a little bit of nostalgia to Gillette Stadium and maybe a ring of honor, you know, a ring of fame, whatever you call it, what other teams have done where I've gone into visiting stadiums before and you look around to see names and dates of players that have played there. It really adds a sense of history to a stadium. I think that'd be a great thing to add at Gillette. And, I think that's something I would look forward to seeing in that stadium.
Interesting. So you sort of see it more as a passing on to the youth kind of thing, where you'd like to pass on whatever you had to maybe a next guy who might wear your number and sort of uphold whatever you stood for, kind of like that?
Yeah, and I think so. To say that no player can ever wear number 54 for the New England Patriots again, that's sort of selfish. I think that other players deserve to know and realize what had gone on in that organization before. I remember before one Super Bowl and Andre Tippett, that's when Tipp made the Hall of Fame and Vrabel wore 56 out to practice in an old red jersey in sort of an honor of Tipp. And that sort of planted a seed in my head. It'd be cool if another player wore 56. If I went in there as a rookie and, man, if I was given a number like that, it helped me remember some of the past players that have played before with that number, some of the great linebackers or offensive linemen or, you know, all the numbers that are retired. And I think it would add a sense of history to that team and more responsibility to some of the players that would realize what number they're wearing.
Thanks, Teddy.
I think Dallas is a good example. I think they had a ceremony for a ring of honor there, and I think Dez Bryant's wearing 88 now. And
yeah.
He knows what he has to live up to with that number in. And I think that's a great sense of a nostalgia and tradition when I see Dez Bryant wearing some of those Michael Irvin, Drew Pearson, those old numbers. It's nice to see.
Yeah, Teddy, Kevin Tracci, WXBI Radio in Brockton. First, congratulations.
Thank you.
And second, your thoughts on the second meeting between the Patriots and Jets. We see New England's offense is a little revamped. We don't have Kevin Falk and no Randy Moss, but in their place we have Danny Woodhead, Deion Branch, and on the offensive line, Logan Mankins. How can this be different, this matchup, for the Jets and their defense? And your thoughts?
I think conceptually, I think it's going to be interesting to see how Rex Ryan calls the game. I mean, you don't really have Randy Moss to account for anymore, and does he still implement some of those max coverage concepts like he did in the first game? But the Patriot offense, it's back to spreading the ball, and you run your route. And you don't know if you're getting the ball or not. You're going to get the ball if you're open. And I think that's what they've wanted for a long time. And they want all those receivers to understand that every single route is important. Every single step you take is important. And it all sort of works together with route concepts and threatening and challenging weaknesses in the defense, not just one player. I know, of course, it was Randy, but not just – certain play is not based on whether Randy could get open deep or not, then you go to your other reads. So I think this is when Tom Brady's best, is when he leads an entire field. Mm-hmm. And all of those receivers are starting to understand that, and that's why you're seeing the distribution of the balls throughout the game now.
How reminiscent is this of the championship years when you were suited up, the way this offense is, has been revamped?
I think it's similar, yes. Similar to where you don't know who the star is going to be from week to week. Will it be Woodhead or Branch or Welker? Gronkowski catching 3 touchdowns, Hernandez catching 2. You don't know where it's going to come from. And that makes it extremely difficult to prepare for as a defensive coordinator. And that's the challenge that the Patriots want to present to every single team, that you can go ahead and focus on one aspect. We'll see where your focus is within the first couple of series. We'll get to the sideline and adjust to it, and all of a sudden you'll have to make adjustments. And will your adjustments be better than ours? And I think that's where the chess match of this game, when you talk about it's going to be physical, it's going to be aggressive, yes, but within that is going to be a chess match of who makes the best in-game adjustments. I think that'll be exciting to watch.
Last question I'll ask, and taking a look at this young defense that the Patriots has, take a look at a guy like a Brandon Spikes and Gerard Mayo and a Devin McCourty. Your thoughts and your impressions on these young guys are starting to come into form as the season is wearing on.
So I think Gerard Mayo has made great strides in being one of the top linebackers in the NFL. I think he himself will tell you that there's still another step that he has to take in becoming that linebacker that can make plays that change the course of games. And with that, I'm talking about, you know, forcing the fumbles, scoring touchdowns, interceptions, things like that. I think he's getting a reputation out there of being a tackling machine, yes, and you want that as a linebacker. But more importantly, you want to be a threat back there in the middle of the field, is being able to make a play whenever you take an advantage of a mistake and all of a sudden there's Mayo making the play and to win the game. I think that's still there in his progression. I think he'll make that, and because I don't think he's a thumper, which is, thumpers meaning all he does is take on blocks, shed blocks, and make tackles. No, Gerard Mayo plays every single down for this team. Mm. He does that because he has the skill to cover and stop the run and do it all. He has a complete game. So there's going to be a play where there's going to be a developmental play or process where he realizes how to get that extra step and how to make that big play, and that's going to happen for him soon, I think.
Thank you, and congratulations once again.
Sure. Okay, Brandon Spikes, just a quick little thing on him. Right now, he's a first and second down linebacker for this team, and he's done a great job playing the mic and stopping the run and doing everything that they've asked of him. So for a rookie, being able to do what he's done, I think, has been very impressive.
Thank you, Teddy.
Well, I'll tell you what. If there was one, I know it's Teddy Bruschi night, and there's a there's one thing I would wish for the night, it would be snow. And that's, I don't know, that's just me. That's just the way I always felt most comfortable in that stadium, is when the snow came down, and I just knew we were going to win when it snowed in Gillette, in Foxborough. So I think snow would be a perfect touch. My kids might not like it, but I've got them coming in heavy-duty winter gear, so a little bit of snow would be nice.
Hey, Teddy, it's George Willis again from the New York Post. When you had games like this, big games, games that you know, had playoff implications, how much do you put in it emotionally? Is it a huge game, or how much do players really get involved in the hype?
It makes it more exciting. You feel the excitement during the week. You come into the locker room and you see a huge media crowd. I mean, I'm sure the media crowd this week in that locker room will be bigger than when they played the Detroit Lions or the Buffalo Bills. You can sense the urgency and the attention that the game gets. Yes. Is this a must situation for either team? I don't know. I look at these two teams as still two teams that will be there in the end. But the opportunity to send a message within your division and possibly putting a team behind you. We always talked about playing divisional games. When you have an opportunity to put a team behind you, take advantage of it. And I think that's what an opportunity the Jets have right now is to get that, to get another victory versus the Patriots. You'd be putting a team in your division behind you and having establishing a clear position in the driver's seat of the division.
All right, Teddy, we're going to work on that snow for you.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Teddy. I appreciate it. And, Teddy, I'll be calling you in a little bit.
Okay, thanks, Izzy. Thanks, everybody. Bye.